And that sound means the start of another Missal for the Masses. This is the Chaplain's Mortar Pod. I am your host, Gary. And this is the podcast where I talk about what's going on in my life of collecting, whether that's comic books, news, but mostly I talk about vehicles, playsets, or even trailers from the G.I. Joe, a real American hero toy line from 1982 to present day, mostly focusing on the O-ring era from 1982 to 1994. And this week, we are talking about 1984's Battle Station, The Watchtower. I chose The Watchtower because I had something else in mind, but I felt that sometimes it is good to start with the basics to build a foundation for what's going to come next. And in terms of towers or multi-level G.I. Joe toys, it is fair to start with 1984's Watchtower before talking about other similar toys like Checkpoint Alpha or even the 1992 or 2001 or Street Fighter headquarters. So those all have multi-levels. The Toxo Lab factory. So all these have multi-levels, but really the Watchtower is the first one that really stood out, raised it up. It's something that's been on display in my Camp Jellystone next to my Outpost Defender. It works really well with that. But without spoiling anything, let's start with the review. And with my reviewing, I always like to start off with the box and the box art and the box contents, going into the blueprints, and then talking about the toy in general. As always, I'd like to thank Carson Metaxas and his website 3D Joes for providing the pictures of the box and the blueprints to help me perform this review. So, the Watchtower Battle Station. The box shows, the box says, helps G.I. Joe keep an eye out for the enemy. And we got Roadblock manning the machine gun, Gung-Ho climbing the ladder to, it looks like, tell Roadblock something. Roadblock is manning the machine gun, the sandbags are behind it, and the spotlight is next to the machine gun, which is kind of unique because when we talk about the toy, that configuration really can't happen unless you're, cutting and gluing. And then also in the background, you have the G.I. Joe flag showing the G.I. Joe name with the American flag, draped downwards. It's beautiful Hector Garrido art, and it has that same explosion back that was behind all the figures. So we flip the box over, and we get to the back of the box, and it says, the G.I. Joe Mobile Strike Force Watchtower. It is part of the new modern Army G.I. Joe collection of vehicles, weapons, figures, and accessories. Use it to help G.I. Joe defend democracy and battle his evil enemies. So on the back of the box, we got one blurb. This is actual size shown. The door opens. It has super realistic detail. Removable spotlight, main gun, and flagpole. It is worth one flag point. In the contents of the box, it says two side walls with legs, rear wall, front wall, door, floor, ladder, two sandbag units, minigun, spotlight, flagpole, label sheet, G.I. Joe folder, instructions, and blueprints. So this is a pretty basic, toy. And then we get to the blueprints, and let's talk about the five things that they're pointing out on the blueprints. Sometimes they would go like 34 things on something like this, but no, this will probably be a quick episode because there's only five things to talk about, which is number one is the flagpole. Yes, that's right. The flagpole with the American flag on one side. And then on the other side is that G.I. Joe flag, which says honor, duty, and courage. So, neat, something neat about the, I'll talk about the sticker here first. Honor is spelled H-O-N-O-U-R. So that is the British way of spelling it before it got Americanized, probably sometime in the 1800s when a lot of the U's after O were dropped, like in color. You know, color used to be spelled C-O-L-O-U-R. And then, you know, other things too, you know, like Czech. You know, Czech became C-H-E-C-K, you know, instead of C-H-E-Q-U-E. There was also, this is all part of the late 1800s, early 1900s, when, you know, I know nobody showed up for this show to learn etymology, but even Theodore Roosevelt himself wanted to change the spelling of would, should, and could to could would be C-U-D, would be W-U-D, you know, all sorts of mayhem with spelling. But anyway, all that comes from honors being spelled with a U, and just think it's funny that for an American unit, that's what they did. I'm sure the Action Force fans are just, you know, really happy that that one got by. And then number two, we have the 7.62 millimeter general purpose mini machine gun, and it is molded in gray. It is a remold of what came on 1983's G.I. Joe headquarters. Just cast in a slightly different or more gray with a little bit less green. We'll admit that it has been a while since I really did take a good look at my headquarters, but this is a remold from the headquarters. And then we get to number three, the tungsten spotlight. Again, another remold for the headquarters. You know, it's really good that, you know, for the kids that could afford the headquarters, they got this. But then you got this little watchtower, which uses some of the headquarters components. You know, maybe I'm being a little too generous here. Maybe this is just a cost-cutting measure. But hey, you know, let's be positive. So you got this tungsten spotlight, and it's molded in the same color as the mini machine gun. Number four is the sandbags. The sandbags, there's two pieces. They are, you know, the sandbag units consist of essentially four sandbags molded together, and they line the perimeter of the watchtower. Now, the sandbags really are two large U's, and they allow a little channel in between each of them for the mini machine gun to be on one side and the tungsten spotlight to be on the other. So like I said on the box where it showed the machine gun and the spotlight on the same side, that can't happen if this thing is, you know, box fresh or unaltered. And then finally, number five, it's the hatch door, and it opens to the left. You pull out to the left, it comes out, and it's molded in green. One other thing, I'm really surprised there wasn't a sixth one for the ladder, because, you know, there's a ladder, and then you also, you could have called out number seven, the struts that keep the legs from, you know, coming apart. But anyway, but yeah, five whole things on the blueprints. It's you know, after really trying to justify some of these other blueprints, this is like a breath of fresh air. If you've listened to some of the earlier ones where I'm talking for 34 lines of, you know, the LCV or something, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, and I'm explaining away the stuff, but this, yes, it's refreshing. The Watchtower Battle Station is essentially a box on stilts for you to put your figure in. And let's talk about the toy itself. So, like I said earlier, the mini machine gun and the tungsten spotlight are molded in a medium gray, a little bit darker. It is, you know, not battleship gray, but it's not black. It's, you know, it's a darker gray. And then in a lighter green, almost like grass green, the sandbags. And then the ladder is in a darker shade of that lime green, and it plugs into the wall of the watchtower. But then finally, the rest of the watchtower is in a darker olive drab, including the door and the floor. Now, I'll talk about with the floor. The floor is actually kind of hard to see if you're displaying this, unless you're looking straight down. But the floor has a nice diamond plate pattern on it. The floor also has a molded in pair of bolt cutters. I don't know why they'd have bowl cutters way up there, but it's nice. It's a little detail. It's like a tool for them assembling it or not. And then also molded into the floor is an ammo can with what I would assume 7.62 millimeter NATO ordnance for the mini machine gun. So that's pretty cool. You got that feeds in. If this was released for like a modern era, you could almost, or a customizer, you could almost make a belt to go from that ammo can to the mini machine gun. So that is a neat little addition. Now the four sides of the watchtower. So you have the door. The door has, you know, little rivets going around the edges, and it has like a couple decals, a caution, instructions to unlatch, you know, and just like almost two dials to make it look almost like a safe that, you know, can't, you know, be easily accessed. And then the other three sides, you know, are very similar. They have, you know, a trapezoid panel with rivets, you know, with G.I. Joe and a star, you know, the American Star 5-point. And then the struts come down and they basically look like I-beams with, you know, an X on two sides of it. You know, those two sides would be the bigger two pieces that go together, and then, you know, you get the four legs. The legs are sturdy in one direction, this direction that they're molded in with the struts, but if you can squeeze and stretch them if you're going against the pieces because of the assembly. One thing to note, especially with mine, I only have the one watchtower, is that if it's assembled incorrectly, and when I got mine, it was, so I tried to carefully take it apart because the floor wasn't level, the tabs can break on the side. So be very careful taking this apart or putting it together. This plastic is getting brittle. That's what happens after 40 years. And then the only other thing that I've had go wrong is one of the pegs that holds in the sandbags has broken over time too. This looks like an older break, and it looks like, you know, some industrious parent tried to glue it at one point, but the one, you know, rectangular peg holds it in place fairly well. It doesn't stop me from displaying this with my Joes. The only other thing I would like to say is that the other three sides have little slits on top. They're kind of awkwardly placed because you really can't get a figure to kneel down and peek out through those slits or hold a machine gun through those slits. It's kind of an awkward height. When you stand up a figure on the floor, the figure comes up to the walls come up about elbow high. So it's almost too high for him to lift his arms and shoot the, like, his own machine gun. So he can't really shoot over the sandbags. And the machine gun's kind of an odd beast on this because when it is mounted, the character's eyes are kind of level with the sight or the scope, but the machine gun handle is kind of awkward for him to hold while, you know, looking through the scope. It's kind of a nitpick at this point, but, you know, and to be fair, that's what you get when you start reusing molds. You know, things don't fit exactly as they do, but they kind of do. I mean, it's a toy for kids. Were kids going to look at it? No. But as an adult, it'd be, you know, it's hard to not notice. The other thing too, and I want to say this, the design where you have the spotlight on one side and the machine gun on the other, I think that is a flaw. I'm not a huge fan of that. And because you kind of want the spotlight to be where the guy's pointing his machine gun. You know, you want him to be able to shine your spotlight on the Cobra enemy. So that just doesn't make sense practically. However, displaying it as per the blueprints, where the machine gun is on the same side as the flag, what I typically do is I display it facing me with the ladder to my right, the character's left. facing, you know, facing out. This is my Camp Jellystone. And the spotlight is facing out, the machine gun's facing back. And what I try to do is I put the character on a figure stand, which will raise him up, you know, an eighth of an inch or so, which really helps with the scaling. And then I try to position him over. So this way the spotlight is shining out and then they're holding, you know, their machine gun, you know, so this way they can spot the enemy. It works out really well. And the great thing about the Watchtower, you know, talking about display, is it pairs well with a lot of other smaller battle station, you know, play sets. My favorite is the Outpost Defender, but it would work with the Bivouac, the Machine Gun Nest, the Ammo Dump. It works with a variety of just those smaller battle stations. But it could also be like a corner piece for a larger playset, like the 1983 headquarters, or even, you know, maybe the colors won't work too well with the 92 headquarters, but it would work pretty decently with the 2001 headquarters, the more earth tone version of the 92 headquarters. So it's a great corner piece. It adds to a diorama. It is a piece for a diorama. Now, if you're a kid and or an adult and this is all you have, you would need to display it with a vehicle, I think, or something. So you're talking the Ram, Silver Mirage, Vamp, Vamp Mark II, you know, a smaller vehicle like the Slam. But on its own, it's hard because this Watchtower is something that was erected to give a higher field.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground!
So it doesn't really make sense, like having a character just up there and then Cobra attacking it. You know, this is a defensive position. This isn't an offensive playset. You know, with the Outpost Defender being an outpost, so it is a, you know, like reconnaissance. This isn't, because of the structure, because of the metallic industrial nature of this, this is, lends itself to a fortified position, or it, like, it's a structure with a purpose. So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, you know, the Joes dragged it out there, you know, set it up to do reconnaissance. This isn't something that Sneak Peek would be using. Although Sneak Peek probably should use it because he doesn't need to die a fourth time. Definitely, it's one of those playsets that needs more toys with it. You know, does it work with just figures? No. That is where I feel it fails. This is one of those few things that doesn't stand well on its own. It needs other things to complement it. And like I said, a small vehicle would work well with it. You know, you can't set your G.I. Joe army around it. The area above only really has room for one figure. You could potentially fit two in there if they don't have any backpacks. But even then, they're going to be back to back. There's no foot pegs on the floor. It's not like they're going to be perfectly stable in there, but it also frees them up so you could turn them around into any one of the four sides or the corners. And then you have the ladder, and the ladder also doesn't have like a foot peg to get that gung-ho's climbing in to, you know, say hi to Roadblock. Those are some toyetic failings, but at the same time too, it's also good that they don't have it because it allows you to give, it gives you a little more versatility with the display. Now, who do I have manning my Watchtower? Well, like I said earlier, Sneak Peek probably shouldn't, but I've always found that, you know, it works really well with a lot of different G.I. Joes, but typically I display mine with Sightline from 2017 JoeCon. And also I have this Night Force G.I. Joe soldier that was a convention exclusive and I picked it up and it's a Red Laser. It was made by Red Laser and he has a little Steel Brigade helmet, but it comes off and it works out well. You know, I've used Recondo. I've used my Duke, my hybrid Duke V4, V5. You know, it's the desert camo Duke. You know, Dusty works, especially Tiger Force, because he has that green. So there's a lot of different characters that work well with this. But, you know, typically, you know, you're using somebody like Duke with binoculars. You know, Sneak Peek, and I mean Duke version 1 with binoculars, and even Sneak Peek with his binoculars. But what I like to do is those binoculars can be easily handed to another Joe to be in the watchtower. So anybody really can use it well. But I like to use a guy that, you know, kind of has a, like an M16 or squad automatic weapon. So it adds a little to it, like Leatherneck. So, like I said, I can keep coming up with names for this that work well with it. So, but really everybody works on it. But personally, I like using a couple different figures here and there. But, you know, like Sightline was in there for quite a while. I just put him away a few months ago. And now, like I said, I've had this convention exclusive G.I. Joe Steel Brigade Trooper. And he's been manning it for me for a while now. Now that I've basically reviewed the Watchtower, and thank you for listening, it's time to rate this. And I'm going to rate this on a scale from 0 to 5, 0 being the worst, 5 being the best, using quarter scale. What will we rate it on? What is going to be the rating system? It's going to be tungsten spotlights. So 0 to 5 tungsten spotlights. This is a 2.5. It is very average. It definitely accentuates something. It was cheap new, about the same price as a figure, but to me it doesn't stand, pun intended, well on its own. It really needs more accoutrement to enhance it, or it is more of something that enhances a scene. So you could say the Watchtower is a garnish to your G.I. Joe collection. If you have room, it's taller than a figure, but it doesn't take up a lot of shelf space. So this could work well in a lot of different collections. So it makes it nicely collectible. But I don't know if a lot of people go out of their way for this playset. So it's a 2.5 tungsten spotlights out of 5. And that wraps this up. Thank you for listening to the Chaplain's Assistant Motorpod. I've been your host, Gary. If you want more Chaplain's Assistant Motorpod, you can find me on social media at Chaplain Joe Pod on X, Facebook, Instagram. And if you would like to email, you can chaplainjoepod@gmail.com. The Chaplain's Assistant Motorpod is a strange, but not as strange, a nerdy little brother of The Pint, a pop culture podcast. And with all of that out of the way, one final missile for the masses. Be decent to each other. Hey again, it's Gary, and just want to remind everyone that the Chaplain's Assistant Motorpod will be vending at the New Haven Comic and Collectible Spectacular. I have a booth selling some extra stuff of mine, comics and toys. And if any of the listeners out there would like to swing by and at least say hi, it's April 21st. It's at the Annex YMA Hall, 554 Woodward Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut. Hope to see some of you guys there.